about praying. And so when we pray, you know, we use the model. I use the model of the Lord's Prayer. I want everybody to pay attention because this is going to be very quick. We use the Lord's Prayer as a model, a structure for our prayer life. And so when you have a structure in your prayer life, you don't get bored. Time goes so quickly. 1 hour goes by so fast when you go to prayer and you have an agenda. If you just show up to pray, you'll be bored in 2 minutes. Because most people are, their mind's going, so you have to harness yourself. So if you have a structure, you go in there with an agenda. You're going to do business. You're going to talk to God about different things. And so it's very easy to spend an hour with God, and the time goes by so quickly. Sometimes you won't even get through your whole structure. Maybe you'll spend more time in praise and worship. Maybe you'll spend more time in forgiveness. Maybe you'll spend more time in praying over for protection. Maybe you'll spend more time in really praying the will of God for people. So those are things that are essential in that prayer structure. So we always begin with praise and worship. You know, the Lord's Prayer is not a New Testament prayer that we pray, we recite to pray over someone. When someone is sick, you don't get the Lord's Prayer and you pray that over them. You pray what the Bible tells you to pray about. You pray specifically the needs. And so, you know, Hebrews 4:6 says, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might find help to grace in time of need." So we come boldly before the throne of grace. We come boldly to God. We don't come there with feelings of inadequacy to God, because once you know who you are in Christ, you come there to your Father. And once you know some things about prayer, you know who you are. You don't come to God with, you know, He might hear me. You know, you come there with confidence. You come before God with confidence. You don't, you know, shift around and tell God how unworthy you are. No, Jesus has made you worthy by His blood. That's why you can go boldly into the throne of grace. We're family of God. We're children of God. By virtue of the blood of Jesus, we're family. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that because of Jesus' blood, we've all become family. We're in the family of God, every one of us. And because of that, we can come to our Father. God is our Father. Everybody say, God is my Father. So right now you have a Father and He is God. And I was encouraged the other day. I just happened to be watching Rhema, and I saw Jesse Duplantis. And he talked about his experience when he went to heaven. He said God took him to heaven. He said, to make a long story short, an angel showed up, came. He felt he had to go home, and an angel came to his house. He says, "You have to go to heaven. God wants to talk to you. Jesus had a special word," and so they went up to heaven. He said when he went to heaven, you know, Paul talks about going to heaven. Paul is not the only one who went to heaven. There's many people who just went to heaven. And he said, when I went to heaven, I didn't know if my whole body went there or just my spirit. But I went to heaven and I saw a bunch of people. Heaven is very busy. I remember Keith Moore said when he went to heaven, he said it's like a mall. Like people are busy doing different things. And Jesse said, I saw Abraham, I saw Paul, I saw David. Everybody has a job. And when you go to heaven, you still have to learn the Bible. If you didn't learn it here, you're going to learn it in heaven. And so you know, different people have gone to heaven. My pastors went to heaven. Pastor Rick, Jesus took him to heaven and he showed him different things and told him why he needed to be leadership here in Canada. And different things like that. So God brings you there for a reason. So there is a heaven. And sometimes people think that there's no such thing as heaven or it's a something that somebody made up, you know. But there is a heaven. There is a hell. And we don't want to go there. We're not going there because we have Jesus. You don't have to worry about hell. If you come to Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about that. When you die, you'll be in the presence of God, presence of Jesus. But heaven, hell is a wicked place. There are people who have actually, they've gone to see it. They know what it's like. And they talk about it. Hell is a place. It has arms and legs and so on. It's just different compartments in there. And so there is a place called hell. But what the hell do you want to go there for? That's what somebody said, you know. But anyway, we're saved from hell. And that's why Jesus came. We never have to go there. But we tell people because we know there is a real place. When we reject Jesus is when we reject Jesus. And that's where someone, apparently, according to the scriptures, will go one day. We don't want to be there. We don't want people to go there. So the Bible says, so let us come boldly to the throne of grace. A throne of grace. To find help. How many people need help? In the time of need. You know, we have a God that's everywhere. His name is Jehovah Shammah. He's the ever-present God. He's everywhere all the time. You know, God is here right now by His Holy Spirit. And He knows every one of you. He knows your name. He knows every need you have. And He can't do anything for you unless you ask Him. Just like this girl had some faith. Shelly had some faith, and God healed her arm overnight. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you know this, but people who shoot drugs in their arms, they get this sickness. I don't know if some of you know about this sickness. And you could take your arm off because you can't do anything about it, or it could go internally. I've known people who've lost arms because of the shooting drugs. People that I know that have had that and almost died, and the doctor have said to me, they could lose their arm, they could die and live without the arm, and so on. But God is gracious, and He's kind, and that's what God was kind to you, and I thank God. Our videos are touching people. She heard a video, she heard about prayer, she received Jesus, and was able to get free. So the videos are helping people. Our videos online are helping people. This is real. And you know, the testimony that these people shared and the stories people heard from you guys, people are going to get help from because of it. And so I thank God for that. So Jesus said, the scripture, the disciples asked Jesus, show us how to pray. And Jesus gave them a model. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. So there is a structure that Jesus gave. That is before Jesus died and rose again. When He rose from the dead, after he said in the 16th chapter of John, He says, in that day, that is in the New Testament day, in the New Covenant, in that day you shall ask Me nothing, but whatever you ask the Father in My name, I will give it to you. The key is in the name of Jesus. So we go to the Father in the name of Jesus in the New Covenant. And we pray in the name of Jesus for everything. That's the authority. That's the key. That name represents everything Jesus bought for us. The name of Jesus. There's people who sang about the name and got healed. People had were getting into an accident and they said, in the name of Jesus, and their car turned right back on the highway. Testimonies and testimonies of people just calling on the name of Jesus. So, when we go, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we go to prayer, our first thing is to recognize our Father, that God is God, we are His people. I'm His people, you're His people. You're His children, you're a child of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that He is the Father of all spirits. In Hebrews 12, that God is the Father of all spirits. So we go to Him. He's our Father. And then the psalmist says that when we die, our spirits go back to the Creator and our bodies go back to the earth as dust. And we have to know who you are. You know, this is a joke. Don't take me serious. You're a piece of dirt. You know, dust. God made us from the dust. You know, that's kind of like the little thing. But you're not, when I'm saying that, I'm talking about that. We're all made from the ground. That's why we're so connected to the wildlife. You're a wild person. So we're connected. God made us from the dust. The Bible says our bodies will go back to the dust. And then when we die, our spirit goes to the Creator. And He determines some things. And so, here, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means to remember the blessedness of God's names. And you have to know your Creator. You have to know God to actually have a conversation with Him. You have to know somebody to have a conversation with somebody in this place. You know, to have a meaningful conversation. You can talk to anybody, but to be able to talk to somebody and to have conversation, to hear somebody, you'll have a real intimate conversation. And so you hallow the names of God. You have to know who God is. So when you go to prayer, that's the model of prayer. Our Father, you know who God is. You know who you are in relation to Him. Hallowed be thy name. So you have to know His name. What is His name? What is God's name? And so God gave us seven redemptive names of who He is to us. And so in the Scriptures, it tells us that God has given us these names. Let me just go through them really quickly, and we'll just get into some praise. So, here we go. The Bible talks about, there's different names, but for now, God has all kinds of names. But redemptive names are a little bit different than just the names of God, like Jehovah or Elohim. You know, those are different. They're names of God. People say, well, God is Creator. Well, He's more than Creator. We got to know Him more than just being our Creator. So, first of all, He's Jehovah Roha, Rohi. Roha is the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 says, God is my shepherd. What does the shepherd do? God, the shepherd will protect the sheep with his life. Jesus protected us with His life, gave us His life, gave us His blood. And the shepherd, his responsibility is to feed the sheep, protect them, to lead them, to guide them from place to place. And so Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is our, He's our shepherd. God, Jesus is our shepherd. The 23rd Psalm is a reality of today. Jesus is our shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. So we have to know when you go to prayer, you're going to go, Lord, You are my shepherd. You are Jehovah Roha. You are my shepherd. You're going to protect me. You're going to feed me. You're going to guide me. You're going to lead me. Every time you need something from Him, He's there. So when you come, when you pray, that's the first name. The second name here we want to know, He's Jehovah Jireh. They say Jireh, J-I-R-E-H, Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. So God provides all our needs. The Bible says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14 says, Jehovah Jireh, God's provision shall be seen. And when you go to God, you know that He is going to provide for whatever you need. Natural and spiritual needs are met with God Almighty. Then the next name you need to know about, if you're going to hallow my name, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're going to hallow His name. His name is the holy name. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, my healer. It says, if you Exodus 15:26 says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and I will keep all the statutes I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. See, this word is written in the causative sense in the King James Version, but in the original version, it's written permissive sense. I will put none. He said, I will allow these diseases to come upon you. So it makes it seem, in the King James Version, it makes it seem that God is causing sickness to come on people. But in the original language, it's not. He said, I will allow you. Because he said, if you follow me, I will do this. But God says, you know, he's going to be our healer. I will do this. So when you go to God, he says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So God is your healer. Everybody say, God is my healer. Say, he's my provider. He's my good shepherd. So we have to know God. When we pray to God, we have to know who he is. Who is God to you? What is he to you? So when you go to God in prayer in the morning, you know who you're going to. And you're coming there with confidence. You're coming there like, you know, dragging your legs or having your arm, you know, like you're going in there with confidence, knowing that he wants you to come and talk to him. Any of your children, you want your children to come to you. God is no different. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to hug him. He wants you to go to him and love on him. Here's another scripture for you. Jehovah Nissi. N-I-S-S-I. The Lord, my banner. The Bible says in Exodus 17:15, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi unto the day. Yet it is, you know, Jesus, you know, the Bible says that God, you know, he's our victory banner. God gives you the victory. Everything you have today is because of the blood of Jesus. God gives you victory by faith. He gives you faith. He provides you faith to use so that you can have victory, so you can use your faith for everything you need. You don't have to try to muster up faith. It's there already in you. And when you read the word, that faith comes alive in you, and you'll be able to grasp and receive from heaven. Number six is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. It's spelled like this, Tsidknu. Over here it says in Jeremiah 23:6, in the days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jesus Christ gave you his righteousness. When he was on that cross, he took your sin and nature on the cross, and he gave you his nature. Thank God, he came down from heaven to represent the Father to you. And he went to heaven to represent you, you know, before the Father God. That's Jesus. The Bible says also that he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, the ever-present God. Ezekiel 48:30-35. We're going to look at these other scriptures. It was around about 18,000 measures in that name of the city to whom the day shall be called the Lord is there. That the Lord is there. He's present. He's ever-present. Our God is ever-present. The Bible says in Psalm 46, you know, that God, he is the ever-present God. He's here right now. You know, you don't have to try to look for him. He's here now because of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And so now that we know some of the names of God, we have to understand this. The Bible says, our Father who which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray the will of God. The kingdom of God has come to our lives. But the kingdom of God yet is not distributed everywhere. No one, not everybody has the kingdom in their hearts. We're praying for the will of God to be manifested in this life, in this world. Now, we can't just pray one prayer to clean up the whole city at one time, because people will start continually give themselves over to God, over to God of this world. There is a God over this world. Jesus called him the prince and power of the prince of this world. He called him that three times in the book of John. And then he's also, Paul calls him the God of this world in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians. He said he's the God of this world. There's a God. And so many evils that are going around in the world, and people are attributing God Almighty God is doing the bad things when the devil is going around doing bad things and he's getting a bad rap because of what the devil's doing. So don't attribute the wickedness and bad things that's going around as God's doing it. And so, hallowed be thy name. So we pray the will of God. We're going to show you. We're going to call the will of God to come upon people that we need to pray for, because God asks us to pray for the government. He's asked us to pray for the church. He's asked us to pray for different things to happen in this world. So we have authority to pray in different areas. We have to know how to pray for those things. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking God to meet every need. We're going to ask God. God wants you to specifically pray for your need. Not for all time, but for that day. What is it you need for the day? You know, in the Old Testament, God dropped manna on the ground for the people. And they were to pick up for that day what they needed. God provides you what you need every single day. And the devil, you know, we should have our prayer time before we start our day. And the first thing we need to do is go to God in prayer. The devil does not want you to seize the day. Every one of us should seize our day before the devil goes out there and tries to do something in your life. We need to pray, continually stay in prayer, and believe God. We need to seize, because the devil, you know, he's out there to try to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you allow him to, he's going to do whatever he can to take away from you what God, what belongs to you. He'll even deceive you to think that you cannot have from God. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. So he goes on to ask for forgiveness. We need to pray for forgiveness. Ask God to search your heart, to pray. There's a time that you need to come to God and ask God for forgiveness. What's going on in your life, ask God for forgiveness. Forgive people who've harmed you, like this man said. Well, I just forgive them. And it'll continually happen. Tomorrow somebody might offend you. You might be offended by somebody. You have to let it go. Or else he'll stop you. Or you open the door. The Bible says anger opens the door to the devil. So we don't want to let him in. Unbelief and bad confessions do that as well. And so we start our prayer with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. And so we want to go through this whole process together. And we're going to pray. I want you to come and get ready to pray together. We're going to pray. I'm going to take you through the whole thing together. And we're going to pray together. And I'm going to show you line upon line how to do this. And like I said, it's a structure. You don't have to be stuck on the structure. Just follow the Spirit. At least it gives you an outline of what you need to do in your prayer time. Let's go ahead and close as we stand up and pray. And I just wanted to do a number of things. It's been a busy morning talking. I know people get tired. And we try to talk fast. We try to be interesting. But it's not always possible to be interesting all the time. So thank God. Father, we want to thank you today for all that's happened here this morning and all the good things that's come to our lives. Thank you for the benefit of being in the family of God. And so we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 100 says, come to your presence with thanksgiving, to your courts with praise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. We give you praise, Lord. And so we're praising God, not because we feel like it, or it might be the most convenient time. No, we're praising you because you said to do it. And so we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the benefits of being in the family of God. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so thank you for healing. Thank you for protection. Thank you for meeting all our needs. Thank you for leading us, guiding us. Thank you for answering all our prayers. Thank you that we have healed bodies, freedom from sickness, freedom from disease, protecting our families, leading us into your wonderful will, your plan, your purposes. And so, Father, we pray the prayer of consecration and dedication of our lives right now, each one of us. We say, Lord, may you have preeminence in my life. I lay my heart before you. I lay my life before you, and I give you my life. I say, dear Lord Jesus, do with me and use me as you will. I lay my life before you. I thank you, and I'm asking you to lead me and guide me today. And I'm asking you to meet every need in my life. Thank you for all needs are met. I declare this is going to be a fantastic day, a wonderful day, a glorious day, a glorious day of grace, a day of opportunity, a day of new doors opening, a day of inspiration, a day of connection, a day of meeting new people. Divine connection, divine assignments, people coming to me. I'm hearing from people. They're hearing from me. There is a divine exchange of what God wants for me in my life today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.